Wasn't that wonderful? Sure better than any sermon we can hear. He went there when he was 23 years old. He's 43 now, and he plans on staying the rest of his life. And boy, I want you to think about things for a few minutes and keep that in mind while I'm preaching today. I want to finish a fourth part of a message I started on how you can be a light in the world. How you can be a light in the world. In Matthew 5 and verse 14, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Did you see all those souls? Question, what if Jason did not go to Papua New Guinea? What if he said, "I want Walmart. I want, Taco Bell, and I want McDonald's, and I want nice hospitals in case I have to take my children there. And I want the things of this world. I want America." What if he just said that? He was 23 when he went. And look what God has done in 20 years because one man and his precious wife, God called him, not his wife. The wife's called to follow her husband and do God's will, whatever God shows him to do. And she went, precious Anna, and they had five children. And two are off older now into Bible college, and one is leaving this year, and then they'll have two more with him, but he just plans on staying. We are supposed to be a light in what is becoming a very, very, very extremely dark world. And I've brought three messages on how we can be light, how you can be light, and me can be light. Number one is by our life. I'll just review these. And by the way, these are in the newsletter that'll be coming. Most of you will get this at your house. And these points are in there. I hope you'll read them, and I hope you'll say, "Hey, that's me too. I need to be a light to somebody." We can be a light to this world, number one, by our life, by our testimony. We need to be a good testimony. We can't be hypocrites. We can't be insincere. People are watching our life. They're watching how we dress, how we act, where we go, what we say, how we say it, our attitude, our will. It is all a testimony, and our life should bring people to Jesus Christ. We should be different. This world is so dark, we should be different. We should be different from this world. We should be a testimony and a light to this world by our lips. We should say, we should speak differently than the people of this world. We need to be sharing the gospel. And then we talked about being a light by our literature. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of them that published it. We saw them giving out King James English Bibles. And there's this thing going on in Papua New Guinea now where right now they want, the government is asking to put a King James English Bible in the hands of every single little boy or girl in elementary school, grade school, high school, senior high school. They want every student in their country to have a Bible. And that is still open. That opportunity is still open to us for a short time. And I want to speak, number four today, on this subject by luminaries. How can you be a light in the world? And number four is by luminaries. A luminary is a body that gives off light, such as the sun. But when it comes to spiritual things, a body that gives off light is you and I and what we call today missionaries. Daniel said in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3, "And they that shall shine I'm sorry, and he and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Jason Russell and Anna are turning many to righteousness. And we can too. You and I can be missionaries and luminaries right here. But they have gone. And I remember he said he was going to Papua New Guinea. He had got saved as a 14-year-old boy out at Lighthouse Baptist Church in San Diego, Pastor Doug Fisher. And he went to camp there. Praise God for camp. Amen. He didn't go to church there. He went to their camp. Praise the Lord for those that have camp ministries. And they come to camp, and he got saved, and God began to work on his heart. And he took a missionary trip when he was 18, he said, and surrendered when he was 21, started out on deputation with his little new wife. And then 23, he was over there. And I'll be honest with you, that was the first time geographically I had ever heard of Papua New Guinea. And I felt back then, I said, let's just get behind this guy. Praise the Lord, he's willing to go. And if he succeeds or washes out, we can at least pat him on the back and say thanks for trying for our Lord. He's worthy. He's worthy that every one of us tries something for our Lord. You go and we'll support you. And we've been sending him money ever since. And been praying for him. Boy, they've gone through some stuff, sicknesses and everything. I know we're all having a pandemic nowadays because of coronavirus, and I'm going to deal with that issue tonight and what the Bible says about it. I hope you'll be here, 6 o'clock. But listen, there is a risk, he said. There's a risk. Might be your health, it might be your life. Jim Elliot gave his life. The Aka Indians killed him. Murdered him. He was a martyr. There's martyrs all over the world today. But there's often those who follow the martyrs, and in the blood of the martyrs, they sow the seed of the word of God. And the Aka Indians were brought to Christ by his wife and other women that went down. They slaughtered 5 men, and all their wives went down there and brought the Christ to those people that killed their own husbands. There's a risk of sickness. There's a risk of death in being a missionary, being a luminary. But the Lord gave his life for us. I'd like to turn you to turn to the scripture that affected my life the most about missions ever in all of the Bible. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28. As you know, I support missions. We support missions. Pastor Seth supports missions. This is a missions-minded church, and we never, ever are going to change. And this is the scripture I believe God used in my life as a young preacher to say we got to do more for missions than what we're doing. It simply says this in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 28, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, etc. Notice verse 28, and God hath set some in the church. It is God. Now, all of us should be set in the church. Every one of us should just get set in the church. And that's kind of like a reference right there of like concrete. The church just ought to be a part of our life, our being. We ought to be set in it and never moved because God does that. And God has set some in the church, but then he gifts some people first, or those of the greatest prominence is what this word first means. And they are what? Apostles. That word apostles there in verse number 28 means one sent. One who has been sent by the church. We call them today missionaries. They are the first in the church. They have the highest position in the church. I grew up for a while thinking the pastor had the highest position in the church. That's not true. Secondarily, prophets, preachers. Thirdly, teachers, and so on. It is the missionaries. And I remember profoundly being affected by this verse right here and saying, Lord, it's ever so going to be for the rest of my life that we give prominence to the missionaries who are going to the fields to to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost. And we have tried to do that. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 23. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the next book, and verse 23. I want to show you an interesting verse here. It says this, "Whether any of you do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren be inquired of. They are the messengers of the churches," and notice this, "and the glory of Christ." That phrase right there, "the glory of Christ," this is the only verse in the entire Bible where that phrase appears. What is the glory of Christ? The messengers of the churches. These are our heroes. These are the glory of Christ. Whether it's Titus, who went on to be a missionary in the islands of Crete, and he began to ordain elders in every city in Crete. He said that whether you inquire of Titus or whether you inquire of these other brethren that I'm bringing by your churches, I want you to understand that these are the messengers of the churches. These are the ones that the churches send out as messengers, and they are the glory of Christ. We live in a day when football players are the glory of America, or hockey players, or baseball players. All of that is going to come to naught. But someday you wait around and we get to heaven, and the glory of Christ are going to be those who are the messengers of Jesus Christ. And so that's why we put such an emphasis here in our church on the missions and missionaries. Brother Justin and Kaylee Dye are our missionaries. They're in Papua New Guinea also. We're going back to another place in Papua New Guinea, and they've been over there just for a year about and going back. On their prayer card, they have these words, and we're talking this morning on the subject of how you can be a light in the world through luminaries, that is, through helping missionaries. On the back of their missions card, they have this quote from John Keith Falconer. He said, "I have but one candle of life to burn, and I would rather burn it out in a land filled with darkness than a land flooded with light." America has been flooded with light. And I'm not sure who Mr. Faulkner was or where he went, but what a quote. He says, "I'm just one candle, and I only have one opportunity to burn out, and your candle of your life is getting smaller and smaller and smaller by the day. Have we hid it under a bushel? Have we hid it under a bed? Or have we stuck it on a candlestick like we read earlier so that our one candle of light," that's all Art Cole is one candle of light. That's all you are. "Or have we stuck it up where those in darkness can see it?" And this missionary said, "I'd rather go and burn my one candle of light out in a country full of darkness than one that's been flooded by light." And we need to see more, even in our churches, who are called to go and be the messengers of Christ, and we can get behind them. And the message today on how you can be a light in the world is this, that you either need to go to the mission field or you need to help send those who are willing to go to the mission field. It's one or the other for every one of us in this room. And there are no exceptions. You either go to the mission field or you help send those who are willing to go to the mission field. I was listening to a pastor on the radio a couple weeks ago named Pastor Michael Youssef. I don't know him. I don't listen to the radio. I just happened to have it on, and he was on there speaking. He's an evangelical of some sort. Sounded like a good man, but I don't know. He was talking about giving, stewardship, And he mentioned that in the body of Christ, according to some recent study that he had come across, that 7% of those in the United States of America who claim to be born again Christians give tithes to the Lord or offerings of any kind. Do you have that picture? Did I give you a picture of a church down the road? Anybody do that? Put that up there for, I'll get to that in a minute. Go ahead and get that ready. I was driving down through South Dayton. I had to take a mailing to the South Dayton post office for our church out in Countryside. We reopened Thursday night. We had 5 first-time visitors. Praise the Lord. Just people came, just came. It was really neat. Praise the Lord. But I had to go way down to South Dayton and take a mailing there. And I think I've only been to South Dayton once in my life, so I'm just driving around. Sure enough, what happens? I make a wrong turn. Make a wrong turn, and right where the road ends, right in front of me, is an empty church. And I start hearing that voice again. And I said the same thing I've said over and over again. If we just had more money and more men. Somebody could go to South Dayton. It takes money and men. On the way back, I took a picture of this in Markham, south of Markham's down here. Right, this is right on Route 62, right down the road here, out past Leon, past Markham's. I took that picture of a closed-down church. Breaks my heart. Thursday night, I was up at Countryside. We're having our evening service, and we got this dear old brother, John Kenny. A couple of you have met John Kenny. He's a blessing. He loves that place. Already, you can just see it. He lives a mile away. He's in his 80s. His wife's in his 80s. She's in a wheelchair. We can't get her in the church in the mud. We don't have any wheelchair access, but we're going to do something for her. He loves that place, that church and Countryside, man. He is just into it. Hallelujah. I knew that would happen. I showed him this picture. I said, John, you know anything about this church? He says, yes, I do, in fact. He says, that used to be a gospel preaching church. He said, in fact, he said, a few years ago I met a lady, and she's since passed away, and she told me about that church, and she told me how she got saved there. But nobody's getting saved there now. Something happened there. Someone stopped praying. Someone stopped evangelizing. Someone stopped giving. Someone started talking. Cutting this down or cutting that down or something, maybe wrecked the church. Who knows what happened? That church is dilapidated. It'll never be rebuilt. Every time I drive by it and go down 62 to Kennedy or wherever I'm going, I feel that's a reproach to our God. That's not a good testimony. That's not a good testimony. I'd like you to turn to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter number 3. You and I can be a light to this world by helping luminaries, helping those who are willing to go. Those who are willing to plant churches, those who are willing to go to the mission field, we can help by them in our giving. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 8, the Bible says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Now I know this was written to Israel, but there are principles in here about tithing and offering, and whether or not God blesses or not, I would still do it just for the sake of the advancement of the kingdom of God and the support of God's work. This is God's method for keeping local churches healthy financially. This is God's method for planting other churches. And for us, we're so blessed here in Western New York, they're just about giving these buildings away. There's a 200-seat church in Cattaraugus, a mile from the one we are in. If that church was just bigger, we would buy that. You ought to see that monstrosity. My wife's been through it. It is gorgeous. It's got a pipe organ that's bigger than our platform. And it is just amazing. We could probably get that for $20,000. $30,000, $40,000. I don't know what they take for it. But you ought to see that thing. Parking, one of those big brown brick old buildings, stained glass windows everywhere. We just went through it and said, boy, you know, if the church in Cattaraugus was running 40 or 50 or 60 people regularly, maybe we would take a shot at this thing. But what I'm trying to say is they're giving away churches in Western New York. They're not giving them away in Manhattan or San Francisco or Seattle or something like this. We have a unique opportunity in this tiny little corner of the world to do what we're doing. To do what we're doing. And I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to give tithes and offerings to keep your local church healthy, to enable us to buy other churches and pave parking lots and renovate them and get people in there. We have a man for Countryside, and he's really excited about it. His name's Ben Shutt. I hope you'll pray for him. Turn to Philippians, and I'm almost done here. I know this has to be shorter than usual, but what we saw was powerful. Did you hear him saying, you know, there's risks to being a missionary, and there's also needs. If they could just build a taller radio station, an antenna, they could beam Bible FM out farther into Papua New Guinea, and people could hear. That problem could be solved with money, funds, stewardship. They could drill more wells. Isn't that amazing how God gave them a well driller, and somehow the guy is just, you know, God needs some smart men to go to the mission field, guys that can just figure things out and get things done. And cities that did not want the Baptists now ask them to come and drill. And not only drill, but it opens up the hearts of the people so that they'll listen to what the missionary has to say. And people are getting saved through well drilling. People are getting saved through veterinarians going to the mission field, and beekeepers going to the missionary mission field and teaching people how to raise bees and honey. And then that opens their hearts and say, thank you for coming halfway around the world to help us. Not one person you saw in those pictures today would have been saved if a 23-year-old man didn't take his little wife over there. 23. With a little faithful wife. And boy, we can't praise these missionaries' wives enough, can we? Thank God for them. And that's one. That's one of the 150 missionaries. Some have bigger work, some have smaller than these, but they're getting the job done. And you know, when you think of 7% of our country giving tithes in the most blessed, prosperous nation the world has ever known in all of human history, that breaks your heart. Breaks your heart. Don't be afraid to give to missions. If you read all of Philippians chapter 4, and I won't, it's the great missions giving chapter in the scriptures, but the Apostle Paul said to the church at Philippi, you did well in verse 14, you did communicate with my affliction. Verse 15, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only, for even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Those of you here at Faith Bible Baptist Church who are giving to missions, what you saw today was fruit to your account. Those of you that don't give anything, that's not on your account. But some of you don't, you've never been taught this, so it's all new. Verse 18, but I am full and I abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice well acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Now, after this missions giving, verses 14 through 18, then this promise, verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's a promise God makes. You help the missionary. You send once and again under their necessity. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches. Some of you young people have entrance-level jobs. You've entered into the field. Now you're laborers and you're earning paychecks. Don't forget the Lord. Don't forget the local church that helped you grow up. Don't forget the bus ministry, maybe that helped reach you. Don't forget the church planting that's needed in other towns. I'm looking forward to the day when someone in Perrysburg is going to get saved. It'll probably be sooner than later. And all of you that put all that work, all those work days, and that was a lot, 8 months, we've been going back and forth, back fixing up that place and praying and sending out mailings and everything. And pretty soon the day is going to come when someone out there is going to get saved. Hallelujah. That'll be fruit to your account. Those of you that don't give tithes or offerings, please start. Start for Jesus' sake. Start for his kingdom's sake. Start for Jason Russell and Anna's sake, and just look at the buildings they could build, the radio stations they could build, the Bibles. You see the thing with the Bible distribution in Papua New Guinea? That door is open right now because of the current administration, the president and all that stuff. The next one could close it that fast. But do you know why? You want to take a guess why there are children in Papua New Guinea and elementary schools and middle schools and senior high schools, junior high schools who don't have Bibles yet? Anybody think you might know why they don't? There's not enough money to buy the Bibles, and there's not enough laborers to take them out to the schools. Now, I'm not asking you that give to give more. I'm asking you that don't give to consider changing your life. For Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. And become a giver. Start giving tithes and offerings. Whether that brings blessings to you or not, who cares, man? Just obey for the sake of others so that you can be a light to this world, around this world, by helping the luminaries. In Deuteronomy 8 and verse 18, I'll close with this. It says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. It says, remember him. Some of you work hard. Brother Ben Shutt leaves his house in Collins for the factory he works in at 4:20 in the morning every day of his life. He's got a wife and four kids. I said, wow, that's early. Man, that's early. But he's got to take care of his wife and kids according to the scriptures. It's his duty as a husband. That's what men do. And some of you, I know that you have to leave early and you work long days and you come home and you're just exhausted. But this verse says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. That day may come to an end. You may end up with a disability, an accident or something, and the day to get wealth ends. But while we have the health we have, remember the Lord thy God. Remember. Pray for our country. Boy, can you imagine if 100% of the born-again Christians in our country would tithe and give offerings, what local churches? We wouldn't hear about so many churches closing. That's usually the number one reason why you hear they're closed. We couldn't afford to stay open. And these missionaries, some of these missionaries are spending 3-4 years on deputation trying to get the funds to go to these fields. And if we can't go, let's help send them. They shouldn't be on deputation that long. They shouldn't be on deputation. There should be so many missionaries. Well, not so many, but I've heard a few missionaries now that say that they can't even go and present sometimes at churches on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights like they used to always, because the churches don't have Wednesday nights or Sunday night services. Or nobody shows up. Man, show up when these missionaries come. Get behind them. Give them an encouraging word. Be a blessing to them in some way. Fill their gas tank. Give them a gift card to a restaurant or something. And by all means, give tithes to the local church. And then designate on that offering envelope in front of you for mission, some to help so you can be a light in the world, all over the world. My wife, I give to Faith Promise. My wife gives to Faith Promise. I don't know how she does it. She doesn't earn an income, but she finds a way. And God has always blessed her with the means to give to missions. And we lay our head on our pillow every night knowing that we are helping to be a light around the world in every single time zone of this world. We have missionaries trying to reach souls. And many of you give faithfully. God bless you. We've been given over $200,000 a year, probably I think for 3 years now, to missions. Hallelujah. We're up total about $3 million since the start of our church. All to missions. What you designate to missions goes to missions. We use it for missionaries on the field, some stateside, overseas, some local missions projects, things like that. But thank you. These missionaries are getting the job done. But I don't know if it was Jason or not, but somebody told me for every 5 missionaries coming off the field, I just heard recently only one has taken their place. It's just too hard to get the support anymore. Be a light to this world by your life, your lips, your literature, and by luminary. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you so much for what we've seen today and heard. And Lord, I know that many here tithe and give offerings. I don't know that because I don't see the offerings. I don't count the money. I don't deposit them in the bank. I don't know who gives and who doesn't. But Lord, I pray for any that might not be given to missions to have a change of heart, and that right now would be a season in their life when they would begin to give tithes and offerings and not just spend their money on themselves and their children and the things of this world and their gardens and their yards and everything, but Lord, that we would remember this dark world and thank you for what we saw today with our eyes of what's happened in the last 20 years because a man was willing to go with his wife. Now, their heads are bowed and their eyes are closed and the piano begins to play a song of invitation. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart. Love that soul through me. And may I faithfully do my part to win that soul to thee. Would you come today to this altar and pray and say, God, help me. Some are coming. How about you? Pray about missions. Pray about church planning. Pray about this bus. We have a $55,000 bus in the back parking lot that sat there for 2 years. Boy, if we could get some drivers, CDL licenses. I used to call buses big yellow missionaries. They go out and bring them in. We may have some workers in the waiting, in the wings, to start a bus route, get two going, and thank the Lord for those that are trying. Would you come pray for the bus ministry? Pray for church planning. Sometimes on your way home, you'll drive by closed churches. Just say, oh God, give us money and give us men and helpers, women. We'll get some good churches going. Our church planted a church in Angola 11 years ago. I can't tell you what a blessing it is to see what God has done there because of you, because of the Faith Bible Baptist Church. There's a church in Cambodia today called the Faith Bible Baptist Church. We just about funded the whole thing because some of you have been faithful at giving to missions. There's a church in the Philippines today called the Faith Bible Baptist Church. They named those churches in honor of this little church because we funded it. There's a church in Cattaraugus. We're starting one in Perrysburg. There's no limit to what God could do. Are you a giver? Why not start today, honoring the Lord with tithes and offerings? Let's close the service by standing and singing page 844, one of our theme songs for the year, this year of vision, 844.